This is episode 141, recorded on January 3rd, 2014. Packard Pokes At. Hitchhiker's Guide to Severed Penis.
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
Oh, no, look, Godzilla.
I hate it when he comes to town and just breathes fire and leaves big Godzilla turds everywhere.
He chews on the tanks and stuff. It's just not cool.
It's not cool, man. I tried telling him, but he turned me into cinder last week. So I was like, eh, well, whatever. You know, he's got to do what he's got to do. And joining us from the far links of Michigan. Joining us from over by the Michigan
State. You
said
licked?
I meant to say lakes.
You said licked?
I said lick. The licks, the big licks. The lakes of Michigan is, who is it? It's Dave, man. Open up, I got the stuff. Who? Dave. Dave's not here. Well, Dave is here. Welcome back, Dave. You're damned.
Happy New Year, Packer.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Happy New Year to you, Dave. And we're glad to have you back. Anyway, this is... Oh, by the way, this is episode 141. So everybody out there who is keeping track, yes, we've done 141 of these. It's just unfucking believable.
Not only that, but you remembered to say so.
Yes, I know. It's amazing. It's just... I had it right here on my screen just so I can remember. If it was for that, I would have no clue what the fuck I was talking about.
141 has the same digit at the beginning and end, and therefore geeks love it.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, they do. I mean, it's one of those numbering things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we should get going, and we'll get on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
There is a device that's being developed. When they take it out to the field in places that have a lot of diseases, like malaria being one of them, what this device does is it detects malaria in a person without having to stick them with a needle and then draw blood and then wait for samples to come back. The device, what it does is you put your finger on there, and it sends a laser, shoots a laser beam up into your finger, and it goes right into the epidermis, or just to the layer where the blood vessels are. Now, what's really cool is that when this laser enters your skin, it causes the parasite, which malaria is. It's a parasite in the bloodstream and in the blood vessels. It causes them to pop. You know, it literally burns them up, turns into little bubbles, and so when this popping happens, it makes a little bit of a noise, and the laser scanner picks up that noise because it's at such an audible level. I mean, you're not going to go hear pop, pop, pop like you're hearing popcorn go off, but it'll be detected by this device. Now, since it is battery operated, it can go to many locations that don't have power readily available. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, call me stupid, but I had no idea malaria was caused by a parasite.
Yeah.
I always thought it was a virus that the mosquito was transmitting. This laser scanner, it sounds very, very clever. As you mentioned, it shoots a laser through the skin. What it does is it bounces the laser off of crystals that are only found in the malaria parasite,
right,
and causes them to vibrate and shatter, and it can detect the very faint sound of the exact frequency of that crystal shattering, which that crystal is the only thing that makes that sound. So it can give you a positive read of whether or not malaria is present in the person's blood.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the scanners are very, very expensive right now. This is the prototype. I'm sure once they start mass producing them, the price will come down. But then, of course, comes the Chinese knockoff for a fraction of the price and somewhat less reliability.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because right now it says that the reliability is 100% because there's no way to fool it. But yeah, right. You get a Chinese knockoff and they don't quite put all the exact parts. We can substitute the part for over here for the little cheaper piece and it won't last as long, so they'll have to replace it a little bit more. You know.
Right. Well, so. The Chinese knockoff will have a Louis Vuitton label on the side and the scan will say that you're an Air Force One.
Mr. President, is that you? Are you ready?
The sneaker.
Oh, okay.
You'll be a Nike Air Force One.
Oh, that one.
Or an Air Jordan. You'll be a knockoff Air Jordan.
I was thinking it was you're going to launch the missiles or something. It's like asking for confirmation to launch the missiles, but that would be fucking awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't actually launch anything. They would just think you're launching. Like, no, I don't want to launch the missiles. I just want to know if I have malaria.
Oh, in other news, you have malaria.
Oh, in other news, you have malaria. Right.
I'm very sorry.
Oh, Dave, your thoughts.
First off, I'd like to reiterate that nothing's 100%.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. They do say 100%, but you know, as we kind of
100%. I mean, I'd like to go 99.9 repeating. I mean,
yeah,
right.
99.9999.
I think they've got 100% results on the people they've tried it on so far.
Right. Exactly. That's probably a small sample set too.
You know. Well, also it breaks.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure
it's
it would.
Mechanical. It will break.
Right.
200,000 people per unit, though. I mean, that's 50 cents per person,
right,
for the cost.
Understand, again, it breaks. So they say that it works for 200,000 people. Well, what happens at person, you know,
2001? Then you automatically have malaria. There's a little counter.
They automatically
have malaria. Whether they have it or not, they automatically have malaria. It's like...
Yeah, pretty much. That's how that works.
Either that, or it says you have either that, or you won a free beer. You know, either way, I just
sounds legit to me.
You know, it's really, and the nice thing about it is it can be used by non-medical professionals, which means that means Joe could use it, you could use it, I could use it,
anyone can.
Yeah, and could you imagine the money that could be made just going around and say, hey. Want to get scanned for malaria? All right, let's take a look. You know, $5 a head, huh?
Exactly. And it's only a $200,000 investment or $20,000 investment.
Right, and you know, and the instances of malaria here in Wisconsin are skyrocketing. I may have actually seen none, so that would be a perfect investment for me.
You know what's interesting is that there's no actual vaccine for malaria.
Right.
There are medications that they give that are preemptive medications when people go traveling here and there, mainly to Africa, obviously, because 91% of all cases of malaria come from Africa.
Right.
But there's no actual vaccination for it.
Right. I thought that they gave like some kind of medication, but this was back.
They give a medication, but it's not a vaccination. It's just a preemptive medication.
Ah, okay.
It's the same medication that they give when they treat it afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Well, the fact that it's a parasite kind of makes sense why there isn't a vaccine yet. Because, you know, if it was a virus, they could probably come up with a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
If it was bacteria, then they would just use antibiotics.
Right.
But this is an actual animal that gets into your body through a mosquito bite.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely. You know, and.
Good point.
The my big question is, if there is detected, let's say they get the virus detected, the parasite infected, detected inside their bloodstream, what are they supposed to do? Oh, you get malaria. Have a nice day. You know.
Well, I think if they come down with the symptoms, they try and keep them comfortable and they try and keep them from dying because I think a quarter of all people that get malaria die.
Yeah, it's
at least a third from what I've read.
Yeah. So it's not something fun you want to get. So
it's serious stuff.
Yeah.
The CDC says that 660,000 people per year die of malaria. Plus, they don't know how many because most of those deaths take place in African places that are very, very small tribal areas.
Mm. Very rural.
Yeah.
Very rural, yes.
You know, the one thing I see about this laser is that if they can figure out for this, what else are they going to do with it? You know, they could come up with other ways for other diseases, or maybe they can use it for diseases later on. I mean, just like, you know, Star Trek tricorder thing, you know, so that'd be kind of cool.
I mean, there are other applications that this sort of technology can be used for.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely. I can see a lot of future ones. I mean, this way, can you imagine having to be able to get a lot of medical treatments, or not treatments so much, medical diagnosis done in a matter of moments and done anywhere, and there's no blood need to be drawn? That is fucking awesome because, you know, when you have to deal with blood, you got to deal with needles and you got to deal with poking people.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. And that in itself is one of the reasons why it's something that a layperson can use.
Right, exactly.
Because other medical, I mean, you have to be medically trained in order to handle blood. I'm sorry.
Right. You're right.
You should not be handling blood if you do not have some level of education in how to do that.
Exactly. Or unless you're a vampire, in which case, you know, having blood, dealing with blood is like second nature.
If you're a vampire, then...
I would have to be a vampire in those regions like, oh, I got malaria again. That guy, last guy didn't quite agree with me.
You know, though... Atheist mosquitoes don't believe in vampires.
This is true. This is true. Anyway, we should get moving on here. Speaking of silly things, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Well, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box.
When you're out in the world and you need to get somewhere and you don't have a car, and the old standby would be, you know, take out the old thumb and hitchhike down the road. Well, this couple over in Poland there, they were going to this concert, Woodstock concert, like, you know, the kind that we have over here, I guess, or had over here a couple times. You may have heard of it. You know, it was a little band group, a couple of people got together and, you know, sang in a field, and, you know, about 10,000 people showed up, and they had a little party.
There was some mud.
A little mud, yeah, some nudity, you know, things like
some
that.
Drugs.
Some drugs being done, yeah. This couple thought, well, hey, you know, we're on our way to the Woodstock concert or coming back for it. The article isn't real clear, but they thought, hey, we need a ride. And they're not really sure, you know, if they were drugged up or if they've been drinking or whatever. But the guy had a history of drinking. And there were three people involved, but two people decided, you know what? We can't catch a ride. Let's do the next logical thing. Let's lay down in the middle of the road, and then they'll have to stop, you know, because we don't want people to just keep driving by us. Well, the article's not real clear. It may have been dusk or dawn when they did this, and they didn't get seen in time, and there you go. You got two smushed hikers. Not a fun situation. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this article was originally written in Polish, and then we used Google Translate to see it in English, and it was a little confusing. What I got from the translation is that they were going to this music festival, but they went to a town nearby. Mm-hmm. They did some sightseeing. They did some drinking, and it was illegal there for them to hitchhike back to where the music festival was going to be. So they got the bright idea that they were going to lay in the street and try and encourage a vehicle to stop so they can ask for a ride.
Right.
Well, what happened next is they got run over by a truck.
Yeah.
There was two people laying on the road. They got run over, and there was a third person they were with who said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. He might be dead. He might be dead now, too, if he had.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah, the police questioned him. They were like, what the heck was going on? And he was like, they just wanted a ride. Yeah. But, yeah, while this story is very tragic and definitely dupes, dopes, and Darwin Awards, mm-hmm. This also happened in Europe. And what I thought was interesting is the police said that it would be a stretch for them to connect these deaths with the music festival as it happened far away and prior to the beginning of the festival. Mm-hmm. Recently, here in New York, there was a large music festival planned, and they were getting ready to kick off, and the night before opening day, a young woman either got drunk or messed up on drugs or whatever. She had an accident. She fell off a high roof and died.
Mm.
Well, the police then stepped in and shut down the whole festival. It was, you know, it was the fault of the promoters, the musicians, right, all these fans showing up, that some person had an accident and died.
You fans, you're all to blame for this one woman's death who is down the road and got drunk. It was all your fault.
Right, right. So, right,
that's,
I mean,
a weird way of looking at it.
Yeah. You know, it just goes to show some contrast between how, like, say, the upstate New York police and the Polish police would look at the situation.
Mm-hmm.
The article does go on to describe that there seems to be a lot of accidents with fans traveling either to or from this particular Woodstock festival.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like anyone gets hurt or doesn't get killed while they're there.
I saw 6 DUIs and 3 accidents.
Yeah, they had several DUIs.
The last year from what that article stated.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. It mentioned something about, like, some kid fell off a moving train or something,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm just like, whoa. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, how was Woodstock? Oh, it was great. And not only that, but I made it there and I made it home alive.
I saw the thing about the train there, too. I was like, you know, at least these people, they didn't lay down in front of the train or stand in front of the train as it's oncoming and say, hey, stop, we need a ride. You know, because, you know, trains don't stop that fast.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think he, like, pried the door open or something. He got the bright idea that he just wanted to get off.
Yeah, but Joe, how many people were at that festival?
It didn't start yet. People were on their way to it. It was going to be like a multi-day, you can camp on the grounds kind of thing.
Yeah, it says that the last one had around 70,000 people show up. So it was
70,000.
Yeah, and it lasts for 3 days.
Six people with DUIs, 3 people in accidents, and 1 person jumping out of a train. That's,
you get any large group of people together for any kind of reason, and there's going to be accidents and, you know, potentially deaths. Heck,
out of 70,000 is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a big music festival on Randall's Island in New York City, and I was with somebody who was they were handicapped, so they stuck us in this, like, pen with the first aid responders. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, this is kind of hippy-dippy music. There won't be any action. We were next to the exit where they were ejecting all the fighters.
Oh, wow.
I saw countless people dragged past me, covered in blood, kicking and screaming, I'm going to fucking kill you! And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is Dave Matthews Band!
Dude, I drove out to Manhattan and protested us going to Iraq in 2003.
Oh, really?
And I witnessed someone punching a horse in the face, so I don't doubt anything.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible. That's terrible. That horse stole my girlfriend.
That's terrible.
That guy must have thought, that horse stole his girlfriend. And he was just like,
no, there was a cop sitting atop the horse.
Oh, he was punching the cop's horse.
You don't take it out on a cop horse. That's just wrong.
That is just wrong.
I'm just saying. I saw that, and
just to take it out on a horse, period,
is
wrong.
Rethink all sorts of stuff when I saw that.
Yeah, it just to take it out on a horse is wrong altogether. You know, that's just,
you don't
right.
punch butternuts. Buttercup, buttercup,
buttercup. Shut up, fish.
Yes, right. Dave, your thoughts.
I think I've shared some thoughts.
Yes,
here.
You have shared some thoughts, not all of them, but I didn't, you know, officially.
Do you have any additional thoughts?
Do you have any additional thoughts?
Yeah, if you, dude, first off, human speed bump.
Yeah. What was that? I don't know, but it was squishy.
Second off, like, why wouldn't you just stand there so that you're in a good position so you could jump out of the way if they're not going to stop?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know,
yeah, the thing is, though, I live in Wisconsin, as I've kind of alluded to quite a few times, actually, on this show, and deer are jumping out in the middle of the road all the time. I've seen deer on the
that
fucking
happens
highway.
In Michigan as well. I'm sure it happens in New York.
What's that, Dave?
I said it happens in Michigan all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Around here. And I'm sure it happens in New York as well.
Yeah.
At least upstate.
Oh, maybe. But with deer, you know, they got more powerful legs, and they can jump off the road when a car comes. I mean, I don't know why they don't. I just think they get confused or whatever. But they can move a lot faster, and there are deer carcasses all over the road. I mean, because either they're jumping in front of the car as they're coming down the road, or they're, you know, trying to get out of the way of the car. And
but human beings are not deer, and we do not.
This is true.
We do not freeze and stare directly into headlights as cars come.
I don't know. I've known a few people go, "Whoa, man."
human that's beings like awesome. Have, like,
we of have course the, not, Dave. They lay like, down in the road.
That's right.
We have the capability for like model dependent realism, and we can say like, okay, if this car comes towards us, we will jump out of the way.
Yeah, unless you're drunk or high or something like that, and then they go, "Wow, the pretty lights, man."
Yeah, but if you're drunk or high, it'll hurt less.
Yeah, it'll hurt less when you die.
Yo, we're totally getting a ride to that music festival.
No, my other thing that I have to say is that Google Translate sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
And reading that article was extremely painful.
Yes.
Like reading a translate or like some sort of translation of Borat trying to speak English.
It was a little difficult. You know, a big problem part of that is that sometimes people, they don't take time to type the words the way they're supposed to be typed out, you know, correctly. And so Google Translate goes, I don't know what the fuck this is, so I'm just going to leave it look like gobbledygook because I have no fucking clue.
Are you saying that Polish people aren't grammatically proper?
I'm saying nobody's grammatically proper.
I think he's making a statement about Polish people.
That's exactly what it is. It's about Polish people in general. Yep. Absolutely. They don't know how to write an article or spell. Yeah, no, Actually, I'm just saying anybody. It doesn't matter whose page it is, you know, because anybody that types something out, and sometimes errors slip in and they don't realize it until you're done. I've write stuff up and I go back and look at it later and like, fuck, I've got this word completely misspelled. I can imagine somebody from another country trying to translate what I've got and they get, and the foot went, the gobbledygook, and I was like, and then the arm went over here. Like, where did the foot go? Because they can't understand what the fuck I wrote because I've completely mistyped it. So it happens to everybody. So I'm just saying, you know, it's the fact that it does the job that it does. I mean, hell, I wouldn't be able to read Polish. I'd have to sit here and go, I'd have to learn Polish before I could actually fucking read it. And I could go, oh, I think I know what they're trying to say here. But damn, I don't have that kind of time.
I agree. I prefer that they exist than that they don't.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, all right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. There's a ritual out there that the religious do, especially the Jewish religion, that they take a young boy, usually a baby, and they take and they do what's called the bris. And when they take the bris, they take the penis of the little boy, and they take the little piece of skin off of it so it looks, you know, like they think it's supposed to look like, whatever. And the problem here is that a lot of children die from this. And there's one rabbi. Now, the boy is fine, sort of. This boy, well, he's
fine.
Yeah, well, he's alive. He's alive. That's a good sign right there. But the rabbi, while he was doing the bris, he cut the boy's penis completely off. I was like, oh, my God. I kind of misread the story, the headlines on this. And it said that the rabbi was sued for severing, and I misread it because I have a tendency to kind of gloss over things when I'm reading things, and I thought it said serving penis. So he was serving, hey, baby penis over here. Anybody wants a baby penis? You know, that's what I thought it said. It was
the guy selling nuts.
It's like, exactly. It's like, penis, popcorn. You know,
they can't eat sausage,
right? Yeah, but doesn't mean that they can't sell it. It must be kosher, anyway. The problem here is the fact is, you know, this rabbi is not medically trained to do this, and you know, we kind of make light of it, but the fact is, you know, this ritual, and it is a fucking ritual. It is a barbaric ritual. There is no medical need to do this. You know, back 1,000 years ago, or more, as a human species, we're running around in the desert. You know, shit's going to get up inside there, and the guy's like going to fuck his woman. He's like, hey, let's go. And it's like, oh, you're getting sand in my vagina again. So it's like, wait, what are you going to do about it? It's like, well, if you take this little piece of skin off, maybe the little sand won't keep getting up in the crack there, and it won't keep coming off inside you. So, hey, there's an idea. We'll just say it came from God. You know, fuck. This is a ritual. There's no medical need for it. And people say, well, it's cleaner. Bullshit. Again, we do not live in a goddamn fucking desert. Jesus fucking Christ. Joe, your thoughts.
So you're pro sand in the vagina.
That's right. I'm pro sand in the vagina.
Yeah. I don't like talking about this kind of stuff. I've already adjusted myself sitting in my seat here a few times listening to your description of this. Uh-huh. I don't think these people should be given a religious pass on regulations when they're performing medical procedures.
Oh, absolutely.
There clearly needs to be some standard of safety, cleanliness, and perhaps a certain level of medical training. Because, mm-hmm. you know, these rabbis, they learn from watching each other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that no.
Where did, I wonder no, where no, no, he, no. if he learned this move, I'd like to know where he moved the severing the penis off part, you know. And then you take and right. sever the whole penis off, and then you just take that part right. off and you stick it back on. It'll work. Just use a little super glue.
Well, he had an accident, but yeah. he's also not medically trained.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and, you know, it's just awful. It's just, that's terrible.
Yeah.
The baby, you know, almost died.
Exactly. No, yeah. If that child had died, I mean, what were these parents thinking, you know? Like, what have we done? You know, it just, the thing is, this boy spent a couple of months in the hospital and required 8 hours of surgery plus 6 blood transfusions for a baby. You know, that's a lot of blood just for one child. And think of where it's coming out. Any last thoughts on that, Joe?
Nope.
Okay, Dave, your thoughts.
I yield to Dave.
All right, there you go. Dave, your thoughts.
Dude, that's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Heads are going to roll on this one.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm sorry. This is greater than a misdemeanor.
Oh, that's terrible. I love it. I was reading the comments on this, and one of the comments says if that boy went from a bris to a miss, you know.
To a miss, yeah. A misdemeanor. Anyhow, so you know that the rings of Saturn are the holy foreskin of Jesus.
Are they now?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
That was proven by Galileo.
Well, according to 17th century Catholic scholar and theologian Leo Laetius, he said in his published treatise, A Discussion Concerning the Preface of Our Lord Jesus Christ, he proposed that the holy foreskin had ascended into heaven at the same time as Jesus and had become recently observed as the rings of Saturn.
Yeah, because everybody knows that the top of Saturn has a little slit in the top for the urine to come out.
Yes, the rings of Saturn are the holy foreskin.
Oh.
And we can rest assured that this is what the church teaches.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Then I guess they found heaven, because if Saturn is the foreskin of Jesus, then I guess then that's where they must be living. They're all living on Saturn, apparently.
What I think is amazing is the church is confronted with an unknown astronomical phenomenon, and the first thing they can think of is penis.
Right. That is exactly. Amazing. That is completely amazing. I was like, oh, what? It's like, we see a planet. Penis!
No, but seriously, this is a bad situation.
Oh,
where
yes, absolutely.
We have people who are untrained in a medical field who say that they're able to do a medical procedure,
right,
alters someone's genitals.
Yeah, that is, you know, this, it's so wrong in so many ways, you know. The fact is, if this person grew up and said, hey, I want to have this done to me after, you know what, they turn legal consent of age, wherever legal consent of age where you're at is, they said, hey, do this to me, I would
yes,
have no problem
there,
with that.
There are very few adults who would turn around and be like, hey, mutilate my genitals.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know,
it's pretty much something that's done before you have any kind of cognizance or
right.
understanding of your own surroundings
right.
or genitalia
right.
for that matter.
And Yeah, no, you're right. It that's exactly it. And that's the problem, because that child...
It's the same thing with religion, man. I mean, if you're taught religion, you'd probably reject a circumcision at 18. Well, by the time that you're 18, if you're taught all secular values your entire life, you would probably turn around and be like, eh, religion?
Exactly.
Get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the thing is that these children can't consent. It's a whole line of bullshit. I mean, the fact that this child nearly died and because he had his penis severed off. I mean, this is just terrible. I mean, there are people out there who go, especially women. Women are like, eh, I don't care really which way. But if it came to their reproductive organs, oh, rage, rage. We got to stop this. It's rage. It's outrageous. But guy, it looks better. So either way, I really don't care, you know.
Well, does it look better, or are you taught that it looks better?
That's what they say. Hey, it looks better than a uncircumcised dick, you know.
I think it's much more complex than a black and white fellow.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, I agree. It is way more complex. But personally, for myself, if I were to have another kid, which I am definitely not doing, I had a son, I would not cut him. I would not. I would leave, you know. And people say they think we're made in God's image, and if God supposedly made us in that image and we come out with a piece of or actual little skin on our dicks, then hey, you know, then you're altering God's plan, apparently. I mean, wouldn't that seem to go against that if you're altering God's plan?
Yeah, but
your son will be popular in college.
God told you to do it.
Anyway, we'll get on to our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And on tonight's Did You Know They're an Atheist, we're going to be covering... Well, I'd like to cover. I'm totally kidding. Carrie Byron. We're talking about Carrie Byron tonight. And
you're not kidding.
I thought you screwed up for a second there. That's why I was laughing. I didn't realize you were making some kind of like offhanded joke.
Yeah, I was.
Continue, sir.
Well, she is a cutie. But, you know,
be appropriate.
Yeah. But she's cute in more of the ways than just her body. She's cute here. She is got a beautiful mind, and she is an atheist. She said in a March 30th, 2011 interview with Suicide Girls. I don't know if it's a website or whatever they are.
Oh, you don't know who the Suicide Girls are?
No.
My goodness. Let's not title them.
You can tell me later. You can tell me later. She said, I am an atheist, but I don't begrudge anyone for whatever belief system they hold. And then from her own Twitter account and from 8611, she said, went to Moss Beach Distillery, hoping to be haunted by the Blue Lady. Still an atheist, damn it. You know, I don't personally believe in ghosts, and when I go a chance to, sometimes I will go to places that have supposedly ghosts in there, and I go, okay, haunt me. And nothing happens. So I'm like, okay. Still don't believe in ghosts, and yep, I'm still an atheist, so obviously there's nothing beyond that. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, Carrie Byron is definitely cool. She's cool for many reasons. She's an artist. She's a myth buster. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, she's a science popularizer.
Yes.
Outside of the myth buster, she made a series of videos for the Science Channel called Head Rush, where she conducted science experiments and then explained the scientific principles at play. It was neat, it was interesting, and they were produced for kids to watch. And you can see them all on YouTube. I watched all of them. I'm definitely a fan. She likes to play with explosives and large firearms. And I'm kind of looking forward to this weekend. The Mythbusters are doing the Star Wars special, so woohoo!
Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely. That's going to be kind of cool. You got to love a woman that loves to blow shit up.
Oh, hell yeah. I can watch women blow things up all day long, as long as it's not my stuff.
Hey, that was really neat. What was that? That was your grandma's plates. Oh, shit! Usually get that when you get the very angry ex-wife or the very angry wife. You know, it's like, oh, fuck it. Pull! No. Oh, and she doesn't use just a gun. She uses fucking explosives. So.
Right. Yeah, don't cross Carrie Byron. She'll mess you up.
She will mess you the fuck up. Dave, your thoughts.
When Joe said explosives and small firearms.
Uh-huh.
Large firearms.
Large firearms, oh, too. Large firearms.
Well, either yes. way. Those were both double entendres. Man, my joke failed. That sucks.
Anyway.
Either way, I enjoy her fan site, and I've been looking at a lot of different pictures that I feel express exactly who she is. And,
hey, wait a minute. I didn't mean a double entendre by that. Yeah, I had to Google it.
No, I mean, she's decidedly an atheist and mm-hmm. says she is, and that's awesome. She yeah. says she's been an atheist since childhood, which I find rather unique.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Carrie Byron.
Yeah.
She's super hot. I'm going to keep looking at her fan page, and you guys can keep talking.
Okay. Anyway, get a look for her out on her Twitter account. I don't know where her Twitter account is off the top of my head, but hey,
up to Twitter account her.
Yeah, just add her onto your Twitter account and, you know, follow another atheist and a famous atheist. Okay, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
The person you're trying to reach is lying naked in a tub of Jell-O. Leave your number or call back later. Much later.
I'm, that's not the voicemail. Here's the actual voicemail.
Hey, this is Casey. It's the first time I've ever participated in one of these. And this is just fucking delightful. I haven't had this much fun in quite a while. And to my beautiful, beautiful friend, Sister Atheist, I love you. I love you. We reasonable women are the force of the future. And we're moving today pretty goddamn well, too. Love y'all. Bye-bye.
That was great. The fact is, you know, we had a voicemail. And if you want to give us a contact, if you want to call us, the number is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. And if you want to get in contact with us, send us an email or, you know, write to us or, you know, send us something, you know, say, hey, I'm over here, you know, whatever. You can do that, too. We got email, whatever. And, of course, like it's just said, you know, use the Google voicemail and just call, leave a message, and then tell us how good we are, how bad we are, whatever you want to say. Say something silly. Say something fun. You know, we'll play it here on the show. But if you want to get in contact with us, we'll give you the information right now.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host, with occasional guest hosts, enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator? Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter, as Packard Pokes At, and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokes At merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe. Damn, Joe, you do a really good job at that every week.
Yeah, I have a PhD in doing that.
Just in doing that, though.
Just in doing that.
Right, nothing else. And it's an honorary one.
That's it. Congrats, doctor.
Congrats. Dr. Joe, doing the Packard Pokes At.
Yes.
Anyway, I want to thank everybody for watching the show and coming to the live show. Unfortunately, if you're listening to this now, you missed the live show, and my computer did too, because we were re-recording it right now. So, so all the people, I want to thank everybody that did come to the live show. Unfortunately, you're going to, this is going to look completely different from what you actually saw that
night. I want to give a quick shout out to Sherry Music Roots, who was going to come to the re-recording, but we did not do it live.
That's right. We don't do the re-recording live. So sorry. I just don't have the kind of patience to do it live.
We won't do it live.
No soup for you.
No soup for you.
I'll record it myself.
Exactly. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for coming again to the live show when we had the show live. So we'll see you all next week. This has been Packer Pokes That We Just Poked at Your News.
And that's a wrap.